On to our Bible reading tonight, to Acts chapter 16, and we're going to read the first 13 verses. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple that was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him, because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I'm calling all Canadians back to the Bible. Why? Because true Christianity is the religion of a book. It is commitment to God's written revelation. We do not worship the Bible, but we worship the God of the Bible. And we believe that He has spoken every word, and He has given it miraculously. It is the inspired and inerrant Word of God, whereby every word of it is God-given. Paul the Apostle said, all Scripture is given by inspiration. That means the very words. We therefore call men to the verbal inspiration of the Bible. Words matter, for they are God's words. The miracle of the inspiration of the Bible is in the nature of the book itself. It was written by 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years. The words of Scripture were given to Old Testament authors who wrote of things to come that took place hundreds of years later. The constant focus was on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Himself said that Moses wrote of Him. Listen to these words of the Lord Jesus in John 5, verse 46. For had he believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And here you see the stamp
that the Lord Jesus put upon the writings of Moses, which includes the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. The wonder is that in those books you have direct references to the Messiah, and you have types and pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is pictured in the life of Joseph. He is pictured in the life of Moses, for he was the mediator of the people in Israel. He is pictured in the Passover lamb. He is the fulfillment of the Levitical offerings, and he is the deliverer of God's people across the Red Sea. In fact, you should know that the theme of redemption runs through the whole Bible. It is the red thread of redemption that runs through each chapter in each book of the Bible. It runs all the way from Genesis to Calvary, and then it runs on through to the book of Revelation, where the Lord Jesus is pictured as the Lamb of God upon the throne. He is the Redeemer in view in all the writings of the Bible. How is it possible that when it was written by 40 authors over 1,500 years? Well, it is proof of God moving men to write. The Bible is God's words given to men, and we're committed to writing. The Bible is not based on oral tradition, as we might find with many civilizations. Everything in the Bible is codified in writing. The miracle of the Bible is in its writing. This therefore calls for full commitment to the written revelation of God and for the careful study of the written word. The preacher may take a chapter or a single text and he will announce its theme. He will then dig into the very words and the text and proclaim their meaning. Then he will call his hearers to the message of God for men's hearts. The principles and truths are then to be applied on how we are to know God, worship God, walk with God, and work for God. It all comes down to the very words of Scripture. And so, when I call Canadians back to the Bible, it is God's call to read His book, His Word. It is to submit ourselves to the authority of the Bible as God's Word to man on how to think about the world in which we live, how to know God's character, and to know of His love for our souls. Is your preacher doing that? Is that the attitude in your church to the Bible? Is that the attitude in your home? Is that your own attitude and realization that you're standing on holy ground every time you take that written word of God into your hand? There is no other place to discover the purposes of God apart from the Bible. And that's why David stated, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." That's how Old Testament believers fed their souls. They delighted in the written word of the Lord, and they did so day and night. It was a book that they were totally committed to and fed upon. And so the Bible, and nothing but the Bible, can lead you into such blessing. It is the living Word of God that is good for the soul. Read it, meditate on it, and then pray over it. That way, you will become the blessed man, standing squarely on the Bible. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and we're moving along to our message now on the call of God, the Macedonian call to the Apostle Paul.
When I was in our church office last night, and I was waiting for some of those things to run from our computer onto the hard drive that we were loading it onto, I started a bit of a cleanup in there because it's kind of been a catch-all for a lot of things in the last while. But we have a box up high in the shelves, and it's a box of gospel tracts. And they are written by many different authors. They are written over very many years. And there is one very famous one. Now, we didn't find it in that box, but it's by J. Oswald Smith in the Sunday School Times, who wrote a tract called, Is There Religion Enough? Let me say that again. Is there religion enough? Now, Oswald Smith was a minister of People's Church in Toronto from 1918. And he said this, any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission forfeited its biblical right to exist. He says the church that does not evangelize will fossilize. And of course, over the period of history, that has been very true. Now, he went on to say, people who should know better tell me that the heathen are better off as they are, that their own religions satisfy them and meet their need. Is that true? If so, then most certainly we should let them alone, but are they happy as we are? And he goes on, I'm thinking of the Mohammedan in Algeria who slashed his head again with a large knife until the blood flowed freely. And then he took newspapers, plastered it on his head, and set it alight. Why did he do this? Because he's encouraged by his religion, this self-inflicted torture. He was laying up merit for heaven. Mohammedanism taught him to afflict himself, and he was doing it with a vengeance. Would you change places with him? Would you accept his Mohammedanism for Christianity? Which religion would you prefer? Do you think that Mohammedanism brought him peace and comfort, or the very opposite? I leave you to answer. And then he goes on to talk about the Aborigines in Australia, and through their superstition and witchcraft, they take little babies and fill their mouths with sand until the child is choked. Would you accept that superstition as your religion? Would it bring comfort to you? Is their religion enough? And then he goes on to say, I'm thinking of the Africans who always kill their twin babies, believing them to be demon-possessed. If God should give you twins, would you be willing to have them murdered? You would if you lived in Africa, for your religion would compel you to destroy them. And then he goes on. He's thinking about the widows in India when their husband dies and widows are cast upon the pyre, and it's called satay, and they are burned alive with their husband's corpse. And he goes on down the list of false religions, the cruelties, the horrors, the witchcraft, the superstition. And he asks the question, is their religion enough? And of course, the answer is no. This vision of Paul, this Macedonian call, is the closest thing to a people crying out for the gospel. Come over and help us. But we know that this is misnamed. It is not true that nations cry out, deliver us from our superstition and from our darkness. Nations don't cry out for the gospel. They have to be won by the gospel, because nations do not know their need. Neither do our neighbors. Neither do Canadians. Neither do some of our family members. They do not know their need. And therefore, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And if we preach not the gospel unto them, they are lost. Now, what is your Macedonian call? What is the call that comes to you to be a servant of the Lord or a witness for the gospel? You don't need to be arm-twisted into this task if you're called, because just like the Apostle Paul, when the Lord ministered to him, opened his heart and mind to the need in, well, really Europe, in Macedonia, and he ended up in the city of Philippi, as we read there, well, Paul was ready to go. Immediately, we are told, he set out and made the journey across the sea over to Macedonia. And so from the life of Paul, let us answer this question. What kind of man answers the Macedonian call? Come over and help us. I have 5 pointers here. You will need to be a visionary. You will be answerable to the Lord's call. You will be set to go with a ready obedience. You will not be deterred by the cost, and you will be committed to preaching the gospel. Now, I know that those 5 points could turn into a very long sermon, but I don't intend to preach a long message tonight. But I do want you to think about these requirements to respond to the call to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. The first one, you will be a visionary. Paul had his sights set upon Asia Minor. He was there after Cyprus. He went over to Antioch, to Iconium, Derbe, Lystra, and he was ministering there. And now he wanted to go to Bithynia, on the same area, on the same mountainous area up in the north part of the land. And it seemed the next obvious place for him to go. And Paul had a vision already. He was a man who sensed he had a work to do. There was a compulsion to preach the gospel to different people. And it was while he was in his preparation and plans to go to Bithynia that the Lord gave him this call to come over into Macedonia. God usually calls busy people to do his work. In the Lord's work, if you want something done, you ask the busy person. And God does the same. The person who can see nothing to be done is not usually the one whom God is going to call. David was taken from the vital work of caring for his father's sheep. The disciples were taken from their boats and nets and their family fishing work. Philip the evangelist, he was busy up in Samaria. There was a revival going on in that area. And God said, go down to Gaza. And there he met with the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot. Timothy, of whom we learn in these first few verses, Timothy, who was a helper in Derbe and Lystra, and it was the very fact that he was already working that put it in Paul's heart, this is the young man that we need. And so there will be the passion before there is the position. There will be the drive in your heart before the direction is given. There will be the burden of the heart before the final word in the head. And if you are doing nothing for the Lord, and have no thought of souls, no thought of the need within the souls of men all around you, then I wonder, will God ever call such a one to the work? We learned last week of Robert Moffat and David Livingstone that they had this missionary spirit within their hearts. As a very young man, David Livingstone worked at a mill from morning to night. He was working to save up some money to go to medical school. And he would work at the mill and he would prop up his books and he would read and read as he worked, because he had the sense that he must prepare himself to serve the Lord. And this is the gift bestowed upon the man who can do none other but serve the Lord. So the first thing, requirement, is you need to be a visionary. Number two, you will be answerable to the Lord's call. Now, Paul and Silas, they were doing very well in Asia Minor. This was Paul's second missionary journey. You remember how he went that full loop from Antioch in Syria over to Cyprus, up to Asia Minor, and went down the churches, then revisited the churches, and then back to the sea and back by boat to Antioch in Syria. And there they had a furlough time. And now in chapter 16, they're setting off again and they're going through the churches in Asia Minor and they're all doing very well. But there was God's call to be answered. Look at verse 7, and you will see that they assayed. After they come to Mysia, they assayed to go into Bithynia. Now, that's an old word. It simply means they set themselves. They prepared themselves to go into Bithynia. And it would prove that the door was open to them. They were united. This is what we should do. And usually in God's work, if you get two or three or more men that are united on a project, you accept this may well be the will of God for us. And so they were fully prepared to go. And it was then that this Macedonian call changed everything. They were not to go to Bithynia. They were to go over and eventually go to Philippi. All their own plans, all their own ambitions, which no one could fault, as the gospel was needed in Bithynia also, but they were all shelved. And of course, God is sovereign. He's the master. We are but servants. And so we to ask, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so the plan for evangelizing Asia Minor and Bithynia turned to Europe, to Macedonia, to the Greek world. Now, note the comment in verse 10. After they had seen the vision, immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. There it is, a clear call. They were absolutely convinced this was the right thing to do. And so they dropped everything else and they obeyed the Lord. Have we sung that hymn, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Go, for I have learned to trust Him so"? That's what the Christian life is. That's what Christian service is. We do not go where it's easiest. We do not go where we think people will like us the best. We go where the Lord sends us. That is the Great Commission. And sometimes the Lord might take us a wilderness route. He doesn't always take us in a straight course. I know a minister in our denomination when he was a young man. He and his wife wanted to be missionaries in Spain. And they prepared themselves. They even started language study. And they weren't very long there until they realized that that was not a good fit for them. And then they came back to Northern Ireland. And he and his wife conducted a 30-year ministry and pastoral work in a church. By that time, God had spied right out of their minds and the call of God to a particular place in a church. The Lord is sovereign, and we've got to heed and do His will.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I hope that you are the busy person because you're the one that God's going to call to do His work. And I trust that you will seek out that task that the Lord has in store for you and go through with God. There is a Macedonian call to every Christian. To some it may be to the far-off nation. To some it may be the person across the street. To some it may be a little child that you may minister unto. In each of our churches, there's work to be done. There's a Sunday school class to be taught, or there is some practical thing to do. So may the Lord lead you and stir your heart to serve Him. Now, if I can be of any personal help in a pastoral way to you, there may be some question that you would like answered. Perhaps you would like prayer for a concern that you have, or maybe you need to trust the Lord as your Savior. You would like someone just to open the Bible with you and pray with you. Well, I'd be glad to do that. I would be honored if you call me, and my number is 604-897-2040. I look forward to hearing from you, even just to know that you're listening in to these programs and that the Lord is ministering to your heart through His own word. May the Lord in His grace shine into your heart and lead you on in that special walk with God, that you may serve Him with all your heart. Thank you for tuning in today. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.